flexibility. His toes grazed the turf through the gap in his boot, and his driver delivered another annoyingly smooth cut into the fairway.
"That's in the bunker," Andy said.
Halliday had pirouetted on the tee before his ball came back to earth, holding his palms to the sky like some sort of magician saying, "I did it again." And with a name like Rich Halliday, he could probably sell out a theater in Vegas. If his naysayers hadn't spoken up, he might have even bowed. I shook my head as I stopped the recording.
"Fuck you, man," he replied playfully.
"No, fuck you, Rich Halliday. How in the hell is this guy tied with me?" I was dumbfounded, not pissed off, not irritated, mostly just staggered and riled up in that internal, ultra-competitive way golfers can be when they know they should be playing better. When we convince ourselves that, yes, we are playing the dumbest game ever. I felt like I was at the state fair shooting 12-foot jump shots on those abnormally tight rims, and the basketball just wouldn't go in. Rich Halliday was the carny who elbowed me out of the way, tossed the ball through the hoop, and turned to say, "You think this is hard?" I was getting pipped by a man who was getting progressively drunker, louder, and more creative with his two favorite words.
"That's what Rich Halliday does,"
had been ringing in my head since he nullified my birdie on 9 with one of his own. The torment in my gut was what golf and its random stream of characters does to you. In a somewhat sick way, it was exactly what I hoped for when I booked a ticket to Caledonia. An uncomfortable shape-shifting of what I thought golf, and even specifically my golf, could look like. Maybe what it should look like. For years, it was destined that the golf world would storm into St. Andrews, a town of 18,000, and host the most significant tournament in decades. But just as quickly as the private jets arrived, they'd be taking off again. Only I would stay behind, by design, in my new home away from home, lapping up the leftovers. I would see anticipation and culmination and expiration. But then what? I'd be there when the home of golf got back to being itself. There would be no greater portrait of what golf is, no greater indication of what matters, than what I'd find in St. Andrews during those weeks. Somehow it looked like Rich freaking Halliday, and I loved that. Chapter 1. The Why. It's a distant memory now, but not hard to remember. Complex times are never hard to remember. We were 18 months into a global pandemic, and optimism had slowly been beaten out of me. Case totals were ascending once again. Vaccine hesitancy was buoyed by additional requests for booster shots, and infections would soon peak like never before. Omicron made it dangerous to just attend a wedding. It was mid-November 2021, and temps were falling too. It was the end of another Chicago golf season, and the beginning of Don't Leave the House Without 3 Layers season. My fully remote life is idyllic in the summer. Windows open, nature's soundtrack pouring in, daylight that lingers forever. But then winter arrives, and the walls seem to creep inward a little more each day. A week earlier, I had made myself newly single for the 12th, 17th, or 27th time, depending on which of my friends was counting. If one thing didn't seem right, the whole thing wasn't right for me. Call it red flag hunting. Living with no strings attached goes a long way for a traveling writing career, but it also prompts a special type of questioning at my age. I was 29, staring down 30. Angst bounced off the walls of my chilly one-bedroom apartment. What was I looking for if this one, a really good one, wasn't the one? I had worked for one company since college, and Golf Magazine had been good to me. But was it fulfilling? Was golf writing filling up my tank? How about a life in golf? Would I be happiest burrowing further into this niche sport and all its complications? That's the way my brain works. Contentment doesn't feel right. You must go deeper. My 19-year-old self would have said, "Hell yeah."